In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, 96.5 The Fan, Jay Binkley, Rob Britton. Chiefs pregame at 6 o'clock, game at 7 o'clock, the final preseason game of the year. The tweets are out there. I see the tunnel walks already for the players showing up the field. Yeah, it's go time. Tailgating in full form at Arrowhead Stadium. Everybody's out there. We'll talk to you guys coming up at 4:30 today. Danan Hughes, who, of course, played for Iowa, was a Kansas City Chief, Chiefs color analyst as well, joins us now. And what's up, Danan?
What's going on, man?
Hey, we're very
exciting day. Yes.
Yeah, I'm very excited having you guys over here on the fan and everything else. I think it's going to be a great time. But, you know, how did you feel as a player that final preseason game going into it? Because a lot of guys' jobs are on the line. Obviously, the starter's probably not going to play in this game, of course. But, man, what'd you think about this final game?
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, Bink, if you remember, I know it's been a long time since I've been on the field, man. It was almost right after leather helmets, you know, so... Yeah, but I would say this. During those times, if you remember the drafts, Marty Schottenheimer drafted a receiver in the second or third round pretty much every year after I got in. So I needed every rep I could possibly get. I never felt like I was comfortable in my role or in a position on the team. So, you know, I know there's been, you know, the decreasing of one of the preseason games, and there's been talk about adding another game to the regular season. They obviously added another one over these past few years. But for me and guys like me, we needed every opportunity we can get. And there's players on this roster now that are playing for their livelihood. And it's not just with the Chiefs. It could be with any other team in the NFL. And Al Saunders, Marty Schottenheimer used to tell us, every time you got a chance to put on that helmet, you have an opportunity. And whatever that role can be, I never played special teams in my life, and I made a six-year career playing special teams in the NFL. So that's the message I would share with the guys on this field tonight, and hopefully they have that kind of mindset that you're not just trying out for the Chiefs, you're trying out for the other 31 teams in the NFL. So this last preseason game for a lot of guys can make or break their careers.
Yeah, no, I'm curious how much goes into it, Dana. When you think about training camp, a lot of the NFL teams, what, just the Chiefs and Raiders don't scrimmage against another team, and I see why these teams are fighting all the time anyway. But then you get to thinking about it, where is the Chiefs offense going to face a better defense than the one they see every day in practice, or, you know, vice versa? Mm-hmm. Where's the defense going to see a better offense and quarterback than Patrick Mahomes? How much do you think of the determination of the coaches when they look at reps of the players happen there as opposed to what they're doing in a preseason game against backups? Because on the field, they're playing, you know, the regular guys.
Yeah. I don't think, especially nowadays, because the practices are a little less physical than they used to be. We didn't really need to scrimmage other teams back when I played because everything was so physical and we were playing two-a-days. Now, we did scrimmage the Saints and the Vikings all the way up to training camp in River Falls, but it wasn't necessary. Nowadays, I think it's necessary. And I remember Coach Spagnuolo talking about the first preseason game and going down to Jacksonville and was like, hey, everything is kind of where we expect it to be, but the one thing that we have not been able to emulate on the field is tackling and bringing guys down to the ground. And lo and behold, if you look back at that Jacksonville Jaguars preseason game, wasn't necessarily our best efforts in tackling and bringing guys down. So you can't emulate that in practice, no matter how good the defense is. So preseason games are definitely necessary. And who knows, if you are a guy and that is a big hitter, even though the game has kind of outlawed some of that, and you're able to come up with some big hits in the preseason game, you wouldn't have been able to show that in practice. You might have been a flyby guy and look like you would have hit somebody, but would you have really hit him? And then, lo and behold, you open up the eyes of the coaches and like, okay, wow, this guy stands out because he's playing against somebody else. So there's nuances to the game. I think we've seen some glimpses of some diamonds in the rough with the Chiefs' depth, and we'll see what they got tonight. Like, you either play yourself in the league or you play yourself out.
Talking to former Iowa Hawkeye and former Chief and current Chiefs color analyst Danan Hughes. And Danan, when you think about this roster construction, Andy Reid last year kept seven receivers for the first time. He hadn't done that before last year. Clearly, there's guys on this roster. It's going to be a fight for it. We know kind of who's going to be the locks on this team. But you think about the Sky Moores of the world, Nico Remigios and Kadarius Toney, and, you know, the guys kind of at the and Justin Ross. I mean, it's going to be a competition. Then you had Dave Tobe the other day saying he's pounding his table for Nico, who does a lot of the special teams, like you mentioned. I mean, that's a good guy to have in your corner is Dave Tobe, and especially with the new kickoff rules. But what do you think? Are they going to keep seven receivers?
I think they could. I think when you – ever since COVID, I don't think very many people remember, Bink, and I know you know this, but ever since COVID, they expanded the practice squad. When I was playing, we had five practice squad positions. Now they have 16. Mm-hmm. You also have the inactive guys that may be active one game, may not be active another game. So you have an expanded opportunity to not only evaluate guys, but also hold them in case you need them down the road. You think about Justin Ross. You mentioned him. Last year came through and played in a few games, had a few clutch catches. And I don't know if we didn't have that expanded option that he would have been a guy that would have been still on the roster or would have made it through waivers where another team wouldn't have picked him up. That's Nico Remigio now. I mean, what I saw in the first game, I wondered, okay, he the ball security wasn't necessarily where it needed to be. He had an opportunity to catch a ball deep and run after catch, and he jumped up in the air and then subsequently fumbled after that. It was overturned. So I wanted to see what he could do the next week. Lo and behold, he came back and ran the ball as well for kickoff and punt that I've seen. Poured it up the middle, nonstop, didn't look like he was fazed by any contact, and really looked good at that position. And if you're not a number one, number two, or number three receiver, you better be able to perform on special teams. So Kadarius Toney, we've known that. We won a Super Bowl because of his exploits on special teams. And if that's going to be the case with one of those two guys, I'm all for it because they've shown they can contribute in that third phase of the game. So I think you got some questions at receiver, but I wouldn't be surprised that you keep seven guys. And let's also remember the depth of this offense and Patrick Mahomes at quarterback. It doesn't necessarily lend itself to going getting a guy in midseason to bring on to this team. The communication, the verbiage, the shifts, the adjustments, the comfort level of getting in Patrick's on Patrick's good side, we haven't really seen that. Where outside of Kadarius Toney, we assume we got him, and he had certain packages his first year with the Chiefs. Like, other than that, we haven't really seen guys that were on the shelf that were elsewhere that we brought in to be a factor in this offense after camp. So I feel like if there, for no other reason, you might keep an extra receiver or two just in case there's an injury like we're here, well, like what we're seeing with Hollywood Brown now, where you don't want to bring another guy in that has to learn everything in a quick fashion.
And I think it's great, too. They can put veterans on the practice squad now, so that definitely changes things. That's why I look at the tight ends. Like, are they going to keep four? Well, because I thought Irv Smith, I thought the Chiefs would keep four tight ends, and they very clearly could. Or they could put Irv Smith still on that list. The running back situation is going to be interesting, because I do think they keep a fullback this year, Carson Steele, because of the things that he can do. But as Andy Reid said, this dude's more than a fullback. I mean, we're talking about a guy that had 1,500 yards rushing and lead the MAC in rushing 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he showed, like, he was showing his kickoff return exploits as well. So he mm-hmm. doesn't run like a fullback. He's definitely different than what we had with the sausage and in the past. So to have a guy like that that can play fullback, he runs as tough as Isaiah Pacheco. They are very similar in their running style, very violent downhill runners. He breaks tackles, and he can catch the ball out of the backfield. We've also seen early in training camp a lot of the receivers in the backfield, whether it was Mecole Hardman or Rashee Rice, like we saw towards the end of the season. So it may not be necessary that you keep four or five running backs because of the injury factor, because you have that versatile offense where we may go empty more times than not. We may rotate a tight end in the backfield. It doesn't really matter. So that's the nuance of this team and this offense that doesn't allow us to kind of be in the cookie-cutter vanilla way of other teams assembling their roster. Like, we have some flexibility. We got some versatility that we don't necessarily have to subscribe to, making sure we have four running backs and making sure we have seven receivers and these amount of linemen, et cetera, et cetera. So I trust Brett Veach. I trust Andy Reid. I think that they'll do an excellent job like they have. And just like every year, we go into the season saying, and Andy, we trust. And Brett, we trust. And I don't feel like there's any reason to go away from that now.
Dean, I did want to ask you about Xavier Worthy. It's a guy that we look back in our draft podcast we do back in September. We liked Xavier Worthy. I think we mocked Xavier Worthy back to the Chiefs a year ago or now, around August last year. The guy plays tough, and this wasn't just because of his 4.21 speed. The guy is an academic all Big 12 guy. It's a guy that really stood out in the interview process. And had Chris Klieman on yesterday from Kansas State, and he talked about how tough Xavier Worthy was playing against him. He seems like a game changer. He seems like a guy that can play inside, outside, can do whatever you want, but a very cerebral football player. But I do believe the Chiefs hit a home run with this one.
Oh, absolutely. I believe it as well. I think anytime you can gain the type of speed that Xavier Worthy brings to this team, it's definitely a plus. And I give a lot of credit to the scouting department as well as Brett Veach in identifying talent that can be populated around the best quarterback in the league. And I often compare the situation here in Kansas City to Aaron Rodgers and what he went through in Green Bay. Yes, he had a lot of success. Yes, he won MVPs, but you can look back at the assembly of the roster, specifically at the wide receiver position, and question, probably for history, were you able to populate the receiver room properly for the best quarterback in the league at that time? And I think a lot of people would say no. They didn't, until Devontae Adams, they didn't go after a guy in the first, second round. They didn't get early draft picks. And they only won one Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers. And yet, you look at our roster, specifically at the receiver position, over the last 4 years, for the last 5 years, going into the season, we had different core of receivers that were expected to be top shelf and to be leaders on this team. And yet, we're winning Super Bowls that way. And they're still populating it after getting Sky Moore, then Rashee Rice, now Xavier Worthy. Like, I commend them for wanting to get the best talent around the best quarterback, and that's why we're so successful.
Dayton, final question for you. I know you got a busy day, and obviously the game will be here at 96.5, the Fan. All right, this kickoff rule. I'm more traditional. I kind of like the way it was, but then again, I sat here and thought, why not teams just kick the ball to the end zone, just give it to them at the 30 because they're averaging 26, 27 anyway. Now the NFL's talking about maybe changing it back to the 35. See, I'm not a fan of this because you've done preseason with it being a 30. And then when you go to the 35, you've kind of changed what your special teams is doing. And a lot of these teams have resigned the fact, hey, we're going to protect our kicker. We're just going to kick it out of the end zone and give it to you to the 30. I know the NFL can change this still. I don't know how you feel about it. But once you've gone through preseason, I would just keep it the way it is.
Well, I think it's a great question. Trent Green, who is the color analyst for the television during the preseason games, he and I actually had this conversation the other day. We were at the Royals game, and he mentioned about bringing it to the 35. And I don't have a problem with it, and here's why. The genesis of why they're changing the rule or have changed the rule is because the kickoff return had basically become a null and void play. There was no action, no activity in that play. And the NFL wanted more action, but they wanted it in a safer version. Now, when you start to instill the incentive, I guess you can say, in kicking it between the 20 and the goal line, which we now know after the Jacksonville debacle that it's not the goal line, it's the end line that you have to kick it through, you're opening the door for more action, for people to sit in their seats, for people to stay tuned in, for something magical to possibly happen. Let's also remember, the reason why we won our first Super Bowl back in 2020 was because being down 24-0, Mecole Hardman took a kickoff back that reignited Arrowhead Stadium. Then, subsequently, Daniel Sorensen dislodged the ball on the subsequent kickoff after we scored, and then we know what happened from there. So the fact that over these past few years, that would not have happened had there not been a rule instituted like this, I don't have a problem with the adjustment. But I do agree with you, because I thought in Jacksonville, their rookie kicker, I thought they, in the first preseason game, had decided that they were just going to kick it into the end zone and give up the extra 5 yards instead of the 25 mm-hmm. being the 30. I would not have a problem with that. But I think the NFL will have a problem with it if teams just concede that, because that's the whole reason why they're changing the rules. So if they go to the 35, I have no problem with it. I think the Chiefs and Dave Tobe have done a great job figuring out how to make it work. And if we get some explosive kickoff returns that go our favor, we'll love it even more.
Yeah, I actually have no problem with it. It's going to be 35. I just wish they would have changed it before preseason. That way these guys could practice you know, that philosophy through preseason. And now it's going to be changed. Now, if they change it, boom, you get the regular season. There's the new rules, so it kind of changes how you approach things. But, Danon, you're the best. Can't wait to hear you tonight with Mitch Holtus calling the game on 96.5 The Fan FM, which will be on the game this year. Thanks, Danon.
No problem, brother.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nore Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nore Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nore.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Pucks sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.